This is William Hill Racing Radio.
The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Sunday's edition. On Sunday, we have cards from Aintree and Wincanton, while over in Ireland, we have action from Leopardstown. Racing Radio will have it all covered live from 1:20pm with Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and John Budden, your studio team. But to look ahead to the best of the action at Aintree on Sunday, it's myself, Michael Wood, and Craig Forsyth. Craig, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Michael. Very well.
Before we look into Sunday's action, Craig, I think it's worth having a quick look back at Friday's action, in particular Cheltenham. I know you're very keen to get stuck into that. So, in terms of Cheltenham, what particularly caught the eye on Friday?
Yeah, it was just good to have the main hub of National Hunt action back in Cheltenham Racecourse. And, you know, everybody talks about the 4 days in March as the be-all and end-all, but there's some absolutely fantastic action leading up to the festival. And I thought it was a really good start to the Cheltenham season yesterday, Michael. El Bandit is a horse that, for me, I honestly believe this horse has a chance of making up into a future Gold Cup horse. I don't think, you know, he's going to go to the top over hurdles. I mean, the race wasn't run to suit yesterday. They went no gallop at all. The time was 53.5 seconds outside standard. That's how slow they went. And he won despite the slow gallop. His stamina kicked in up the hill, as it did when he won the Persian War at Chepstow. He looks a stare. He also had an entry on the Saturday card over 3 miles. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes for the rest of the campaign, because he loses his novice status at the end of October. But, you know, I don't think he'll have too hard a season this time around. When he goes over fences, I would imagine next season, I think that's when, you know, he can become a really smart novice chaser and he can go on from there. I think the world is his oyster. I really like El Bandit. And, you know, I was pleased with his performance. Good start to the season, him winning the novice hurdle. And then we had a really interesting novice chase. You know, the pace in the race was exceptional, but Maracuja, who, you know, had caught the eye the way he'd performed at Newton Abbott on his chasing debut, even though he was a little bit exuberant on that occasion, you know, he's seen off the likes of Baron Alco and Aristo Duplessis for the lead, and his jumping was immaculate. You know, they went a good gallop and he was keen again in the race. And, you know, the big question you kept asking yourself throughout the race was, will he get up the hill? You know, considering how keen he had been. But he came home well, presenting arms, who had the race run to suit, chased him all the way to the line, but didn't quite get there. You know, once he learns to settle, he's an interesting prospect, and I think he'll do very well in the 2 mile novice division this year. Later on the card, obviously a couple of handicaps, won by Midnight Shot. Heron Heights won the novice chase. That was a good performance, beating Fool Cry and Tiger Roll. I like the way he goes through his races. He's good at his fences and nice strong traveller. I think there's more races definitely be won with Heron Heights. And I think the maiden hurdle was probably, in terms of future winners, was the most interesting on the card. Thomas Campbell, you know, who won a bumper at Kelso, shown a fair bit of speed, bolting clear up the hill on that occasion. He beat his stable companion on Friday. Obviously, Daryl Jacob got squeezed up, but that wasn't through any fault of his own. Thomas Campbell just came across him. But I like the way Thomas Campbell picked up again. I don't think Kazarabad would have beaten Thomas Campbell with a clear run, in all honesty. Accord, built on the promise we've seen from him at Warwick. He chased Peter the Mailman home at Warwick. Another excellent run. And I think there's another future winner in fourth. Big Pipe No Tobacco for Tom George. He looks a big chasing type. He ran on into fourth, but he wasn't knocked about and didn't have a hard race. I think there's races to be won with him. Trika Steps up with a pace all the way, won the amateur riders handicap chase. And Cliffs of Dover won for the third time in 7 days, when he sprinted clear to win the conditional jockey's handicap hurdle, the final race on the card. So I thought it was an excellent start to the Cheltenham season, and I really enjoyed it. And I hopefully goes from strength to strength from now till March with the National Hunt action.
Indeed, there's plenty of runners in that one to keep an eye on in future races. We move on just quickly to the card at Doncaster as well on the Friday, where Ryan Moore impressed yet again with his ride on at Mirage Dancer.
He did, yes. Wasn't the strongest of maidens, but a very, very well-bred horse. And, you know, Ryan just sat, waited, didn't really press the panic button when the front two kicked on. And he got the best out of Mirage Dancer as he came home extremely strongly in the closing stages. Really good starting point, and you would imagine there's a lot more to come from him.
Indeed. Well, let's move on to the key action on Sunday. We're looking at four races from the card at Aintree. In the first race that we're going to be previewing is the 2:45. It's a Class 2 handicap chase over 3 miles and 210 yards. 10 runners in the field to choose from. Craig, what would be your best bet here?
Two on the shortlist, first of all. Double Ross, definitely worthy of a mention. And Masters Hill. From a profitable point of view in Veterans Chase, this is basically a Veterans Chase. A profitable point of view is backing 10-year-olds in these races, because obviously they're the younger horses. And Masters Hill, who goes very well fresh, he was second to Salubrious in a graduation chase at Carlisle on his return last year. That was a really good effort. You know, he faced some stiff tasks after that. Didn't jump all that well on his penultimate start at Taunton, when just going down by a head to Good to Know. And then he didn't stay the 4 miles in the Scottish Grand National at Ayr on his final start. He's had 190 days off. He returns on what is a reasonable mark of 140. And I think, you know, he's the one I definitely think will win this race. But I do think Double Ross is a class act, this 10-year-old. He beat Loose Chips on his return to action at Chepstow over 3 miles. He's only gone up £3 for that. Ryan Hatch, who rode him that day, again takes the ride. He has to concede weight all round, but he is capable. You know, he's a strong horse. And I think these are two absolute standout performers in the race. Like I said, the preference is for Masters Hill, and I think he could take all the beating. Looking at the others in the race, Michael, East Lake, furthest he's raced over is 2.5 when he won the Topham. You know, looking at his pedigree, you've got to doubt his stamina for this kind of trip. Show Royale can often be let down by his jumping. Forgotten Gold won first time up last season, but he was running off 127. So he was entitled to win that race. He's £14 higher starting out this time again. He should run well, but I think, you know, the two I mentioned earlier are much better handicapped than Forgotten Gold. And hopefully Masters Hill can win the 2:45.
So Masters Hill, the one that appeals most in the 2:45 at Aintree. Let's move on to the 3:15 at Aintree. It's a Class 2 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. 15 runners in the field to choose from, so plenty. Craig, what do you like in this one?
Yeah, I think the first thing to note here is that it's going to be run at a real strong pace, that you've got two strong front runners in the race, Temple Hills and Wistie of Martin Todd Hunters, you know, can blaze a trail from the front. So they're going to go a good strong gallop here, and I think you probably want a reasonably strong traveller who can sit just off that pace. It is a competitive heat, but there's a horse that is totally unexposed in the race, very lightly raced, and that's Philip Hobbs's horse, Perform. He was very unlucky on his hurdling debut, Utoxeter, back in March 2015. Had the summer off. He reappeared at this meeting 12 months ago, and he won a decent maiden hurdle on that occasion, and he won it in a decent time. You know, he lacks experience of some of the others, but at the same time, the handicapper looks to have taken a bit of a chance with him, with an opening mark of 135. Course and distance winner. You know, he ticks a lot of boxes. Like I said, there's been quite a few horses that have come a little bit disappointing. The likes of Cardinal Walter, Born Survivor, horse that should go on this year, but he wants softer ground. Buywise, better known as a chaser. Uback may want a little bit further. Curious Carlos, well, he needs to settle if he's going to see out this trip. Jack's Last Hope's gone up £5 for his last win. Great Try's an interesting runner. We haven't seen him since he ran in the 2015 EBF final at Sandown. Every inch of chasing type is Great Try. You would think this would be a pipe opener, on his way to the Novice Chase Division. And Miles to Milan was a little bit disappointing last year, although he did win a race at Taunton. So I'm going for the unexposed horse in the race, Philip Hobbs's Perform.
To Perform, the one that stands out in the 3.15 at Aintree. Let's move on to the feature race of the day. It's the 3.50, a Grade 2 event. It's the Monet's Garden Old Rouen Handicap Chase. Over 2 mile, 3 furlongs and 200 yards. It's got 7 runners in the field. In terms of the feature race of the day then at Aintree, Craig, what would be your best bet?
My best bet here, and it probably won't be the best horse in the race in terms of, you know, going on from here, but I think this could well be, you know, his Gold Cup, and that's Third Intention down at the bottom here. He went very close on his seasonal reappearance last year. He's had 2 spins over fences at Aintree. He finished 2nd to Dynast, which was a real good effort. And in last year's Topham, he jumped for fun, and he finished a really good 3rd to Eastlake. So he goes particularly well at Aintree. He's got in here off 10 stone 7. Colin Tizard's horses look fairly forward from the ones we've seen so far. And like I said, 2.5 miles on a flat track like Aintree should bring out the best in him. And I think he's the one that should be absolutely primed for this, where quite a few others in the race will have other targets further down the line. Smart Place, of course, he won a graduation chase at Kempton before going on to win the Hennessy in the early part of last season. A mark of 167 over 2.4 on his first start looks a little bit on the sharp side for him. On the other hand, Sir de Grugy, you know, hasn't had many attempts at 2.5 mile. He still needs to prove his stamina for this distance, so you know, he's got questions to answer there. God's Own finished last season in terrific form, bagging Grade 1s at Aintree and Punchestown. He could definitely be a threat of 166 if he's ready to go first time up. Vibrato Valtat, representing Paul Nichols, he's just been taken off his feet over 2 miles for the large part of last season. They stepped him up in trip at Cheltenham, where he fell behind Vatour, and he was a little bit disappointing at Aintree, but it's too soon, you know, to write him off over this distance. Three Musketeers, he's definitely one, you know, we should be looking at to win a nice race this year, but we're looking for a little bit more rain for him. You know, he's definitely shown his best form under soft conditions, and I think the handicapper probably has Royal Regatta now. You know, he did well last year, but I think a mark of 150, it's going to be difficult. So Third Intention could well be the one at the weights. 10 stone 7 with Aidan Coleman booked, he could be value in the feature, the Old Rouen Chase on Sunday.
So Third Intention, the one that stands out for the 3.50 at Aintree. Let's move on to the final race of our preview. It's the 4.25 at Aintree. It's a Class 3 Novices Limited Handicap. It's over 3 miles and 210 yards. 9 runners in the field to choose from. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I think this is probably the most difficult, to be honest, of the four races we previewed. I think we've got to start with Pornstar because he comes here in such good form. He's already won 2 races this year and he's climbing up the weights. You know, he's now off 125, but he won very, very easily at Exeter 17 days ago. You know, he eased down in the closing stages. This is a step up in grade, and he's conceding weight all round to more unexposed horses. But he's an interesting runner. Manella Celebration, I can see him going very close off 1, 2, 3, particularly, you know, now he gets a chance to run on a left-handed track. He hung to his left at Exeter, and he jumped out to his left when just beaten on his chase debut last time. I'm going to take a chance here with Beggar's Cross, who looks a nice chaser in the making. Didn't have a lot of goes over hurdles, just the 5 starts. He won at Warwick on soft ground, but he looks the type of horse that should improve his form once again. Now he tackles fences, and John Joe O'Neill, you know, will have him well schooled for his debut here. He's been off 174 days, but, you know, coming from this yard, I don't think fitness would be too much of an issue. And I would expect this horse to go on this year over fences. So Beggar's Cross can hopefully win the Novice Handicap Chase.
So Beggar's Cross, the pick in the 4.25 at Aintree. Well, Craig, can you recap your selections, please?
Yeah, of course. In the 2.45, the Veterans Chase, Masters Hill for Colin Tizard and Aidan Coleman. In the 3.15, the 2.5 mile handicap hurdle, we're going for Perform for Philip Hobbs. In the feature race, the Old Rouen Chase, a real cracker it is as well this year. We're going for Third Intention, hopefully give Aidan Coleman a double. And finally, in the novice handicap chase, Beggar's Cross again for Aidan Coleman and Jonjo O'Neill.
Our thanks to Craig for his tips for Sunday's action at Aintree. And remember that Racing Radio will have all of Sunday's racing action covered from 1:20 p.m. Craig, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.